The Bible is filled with thanksgiving. Grateful hearts expressing their gratitude toward the Lord. Should be something special in the life of the believer that we as Christians can be thankful to Him. It should set us apart that no matter what the circumstances, we have something to be grateful to our Lord for. Dr. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis of the lungs. The disease deteriorates the use of the lungs, and for most of the last few years of his life, he had to breathe with the aid of an oxygen tank. In the end, Dr. Bright only had the use of 30% of his lungs and lived in intense pain. And yet, whenever he was asked how he was doing, he responded, "I am rejoicing in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What a difference that relationship with God can and should make in our lives. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a privilege of God's people. I remember Ravi Zacharias say one time, he said, "You're flying in an airplane and you're an atheist. And all of a sudden, the plane hits turbulence and drops 100 feet. Back under control again. The Christians next to you are thanking the Lord. Who do you thank?" It's a good question, isn't it? We have someone to be thankful to for the circumstances that happen in our lives. In the Old Testament, I said that the Bible was filled with thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, the people were instructed as to how to express their thanksgiving through a special sacrifice. You can find the order addressed in Leviticus chapter 7. Details the way to give the thanks offering. Paul would talk about that offering of thanksgiving in Philippians chapter 2, that he was poured out as a thank offering to the Lord. And he said it was his privilege. And the progression of Philippians chapter 2, I prefer to think of it as gravy, because that's my favorite food, roast beef. Others of you who have a sweet tooth could say that it's the chocolate fudge that's poured over the vanilla ice cream. However you would like to picture it in your mind, something poured on something else that makes it better. The thank offering that the people of Israel and Leviticus chapter 7, or Paul would talk about in Philippians chapter... I'm preaching about food again. Someone was asked, what did Pastor Mark preach on? Oh, he preached on food. You can say that again. Because that's what those thanks offering. And the thank offering in Leviticus chapter 7, you would come and offer it before the Lord, and then you would help consume it, an additional blessing. It wasn't consumed by fire, it was cooked by fire, and then the people would come together to enjoy it. Many of the first sacrifices were that way. People would gather together and offer their thanks offerings to the Lord, and then they would together enjoy them. Psalm 116, verse 17, just one of a number of verses that I looked at this week, said, "To you, to the Lord, I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." Some people were actually appointed to the office of giving thanks, indicating its great importance. How would you like to be numbered among the Levites who are appointed? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. They were chosen to give thanks. That was their offering. Do you have something to be thankful for? We should be a thankful people, and not only on Tuesday night when one of the parts of our service will be giving thanks to the Lord. You know, we'll each have an opportunity to share what we're thankful for. Not only on Thursday, which is our time of official thanksgiving, once a year? We want to do it a lot more than once a year, don't we? Thank God every day for all of His goodness. 1 Chronicles 16:41. With them were Hermon and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because His loving kindness is everlasting. That was one of the phrases that stuck out to me when I was reading through the Bible, repeated again and again. His loving kindness is everlasting. Look for some of those things as you read through the Bible. In the midst of a very dry section in the book of Leviticus, or in this case, 1 Chronicles, all of a sudden the Lord just gives you this little tidbit, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, there it is! I was thinking of skimming through this chapter because it didn't look all that interesting, but here's something that the Lord has blessed my heart with. And how many times are we going through the Scripture and come upon a little phrase like that? His loving kindness is everlasting. What are the Psalms? It'll say something and then it'll respond with His loving kindness is everlasting. His loving, you know, something else. And then it's a setup. But it's not only in that Psalm, but it's throughout Scripture that all of a sudden, I don't know if they've been reading that psalm, but the writer will say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Something to watch for. As Christians, we do not fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament law, the ceremonial law, but we're still encouraged to be thankful. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. That is, and this is specific, the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. That should always be on our lips. Thankful hearts expressed by the words we speak. This must be sincere, full of substance and not just form. It's not just words that we speak, although it may start there. Sometimes when we say something enough, it just becomes a part of our thinking pattern. We're talking a little bit about that in our adult Sunday school class this morning. You know, that the words that we read over and over again changes the way we think and the way that we feel. And we're so close to it, and the growth is so gradual that we don't notice it, but it's still there. God still working in our lives. So the psalmist said, willingly, with a free will offering, one of the translations says, I will sacrifice to You. I will give thanks to Your name, O Lord, for it is good. And again he says in Psalm 86, I will give thanks with all my heart. Not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, I come with thanksgiving to the Lord. Not like the Pharisee that Jesus observed one day, who came to the Lord and said, God, I thank You that I am not like other people, that I'm not like this sinner. And the poor sinner went to his knees, beat his chest, and said, Lord, be merciful
to me, a sinner. Save me. Jesus said, whose prayer do you think the Lord heard? And of course, it was the sinner who came asking for repentance. The Lord commands us to be thankful. Psalm 50, verse 14 said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Colossians and in a number of other places, Paul would exhort the people, be thankful. Make it a habit. Another translation said, show yourselves thankful. Express it to the Lord and to others. Every gospel depicts Jesus, who is our example, giving God, his Father, thanks. Matthew 15, verse 36, taking the 7 loaves, it says he gave thanks. Mark chapter 14, verse 23 says, and when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he distributed among the people. Daniel, the Old Testament, was thankful even when he was forbidden to thank and praise the Lord. He still went to that window he always went to where he could be observed by those who were plotting against him. He went to that window and prayed and thanked God for all of God's blessings. It's good for us, the psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Chapter 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thanksgiving establishes us in our faith. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. When we're thankful, it brings us peace. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do we need the peace of God? Just think of the people we prayed for this morning. We could look at them and say, oh, definitely we need the peace of God. In all of those circumstances, we need the peace of God. We may not know today what's going to happen later today or tomorrow or this week or this month or this year. But we do know one thing. We will need the peace of God. And we have it. We have his peace. It honors and magnifies God. I will praise, the psalmist said in 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. We magnify him as we sing in the choir and as we sing as a congregation. Thanksgiving is God's will. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, Paul would write to the people of Thessalonica. It's an indication of our spiritual condition. The wicked, the Bible says, are ungrateful. From Romans chapter 1, we read, for they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Gratitude. It's what God is looking for, a good indicator of our spiritual growth. How should we give thanks? First of all, audibly, with our voice, not just in our thoughts. The Psalms are filled with this. In my mouth, he says, with my tongue. Hebrews says, let us offer the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just like Bill Bright, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. In verbal testimony, give thanks unto the Lord. Make known his deeds among the people. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. It's throughout the Bible that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So with our voice we speak out thanksgiving to the Lord. In music we sing with song. Listen, I'm not going to tell you where they're all from, but they're from all different places in the Scripture. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. And the Levites in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, with hymns of thanksgiving and with songs. And again from Nehemiah, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. From the Psalms, with my song I shall thank him, and another, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Isaiah wrote, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. All of these things from different parts of the Old Testament. Say, oh, the Old Testament is so difficult to read through. It's so, you know, it's all about the law and about how we fail and fall before the... No, this is filled with thanksgiving and praise to our God. We come not only with voice, but with musical instruments. Nehemiah wrote, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, lyres, conga drums. No, guitars. No, they didn't have them. But instruments. Psalm 33, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Psalm 147, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp. So with our voices, with our musical instruments, with our prayers, back to Nehemiah, the leader in the beginning, the thanksgiving at prayer, he talks about in Ephesians, give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, Paul would pray. He wrote, be careful for nothing or anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He wrote to the church at Colossae, we give thanks to God, praying always for you. Continue in prayer, he wrote to the Colossians, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. See, the Bible is so filled with thanksgiving. The Thessalonians received from Paul, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in my prayers. I just want you to have a taste of all of the Scripture that talks about thanksgiving. He wrote to Timothy, I thank God as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. To Philemon, he wrote, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. He was so thankful for those people that God sent into his life. We thank him privately. We thank him publicly among the nations. I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. In the company of God's people. I think we've gone over a number of these verses already. And then privately at home, just like Daniel did, kneeling, facing Jerusalem in prayer. I'd like to end with another story. When the great leader of the Methodist revival, John Wesley, was a student at Oxford University, he had a conversation with one of the servants there which convinced him that there was something in religion that he had not grasped. The janitor possessed one coat and had nothing to eat that day, even though he had tasted nothing but water. He was still giving thanks to God. Wesley told him, "You thank God when you have nothing to eat and no bed to lie on. What else do you thank him for?" The servant answered, "I thank him that he has given me life and being and a heart to love him and a desire to serve him." That troubled Wesley. For though he was a student of divinity, he could not testify to an experience of God. But many years later, Wesley's life, when he could testify to such an experience, he became a catalyst for revival in England. I'd like us to bow our heads and just close our eyes for a moment. We began with the testimony of Bill Bright, and in the midst of his pain, his experience of rejoicing in the Lord. We ended here with John Wesley. A heartfelt change, I think we could say, was his experience with the Moravians as he trusted Christ as his Savior and then came to make such a huge difference in the world that he lived in. I don't know about you this morning, but I feel I need that change in my life. Perhaps not the salvation experience, because he's been working his salvation in me for many years. But a thankful heart, a grateful heart for all of his blessings. This Thanksgiving season, as we prepare now our hearts, I'm just going to pause for a moment and give you just a bit of time to align your hearts with the Lord, to express your desire to be thankful to him this Thanksgiving season. Perhaps just pray that he might start a new work in your heart, that you might realize the blessings that he has blessed you with, and that you truly might be thankful. To thank him for dying on the cross, for giving us a new heart, for forgiving us, and for overwhelming us with a sense of his loving presence. In the quietness of this moment, respond to him and his word in prayer. Receive, dear Lord, our prayers. We come to you with grateful hearts, thanking you for all of our blessings. Help us not to forget that all good gifts come from our Heavenly Father. And bless us, Lord, as we express this week our thanksgiving to you, whether in public, in family times, or in private times. Be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.